save faster, borrow smarter, move sooner with CME. Earn 6.5% APY with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus savings account. And when you're ready to buy, enjoy a low 5.1 ARM mortgage rate. Plus, CME pays $750 toward closing costs. Start your path to homeownership today with CME Federal Credit Union. Subject to membership eligibility and approval, APY means annual percentage yield, APR means annual percentage rate. Terms apply. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Visit CMEFCU.org for details. Well, we know Central Ohio has the best football team. Did you know we have the best credit union, too? It's easy to fall for CME, Ohio's number one credit union, recognized nationally and statewide by Forbes and rooted right here in Central Ohio. CME Federal Credit Union. Bank with the best. Membership subject to eligibility. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Visit CMEFCU.org for additional details.
Welcome, everyone, to Redacted on this Tuesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris, back in action.
All right, we got a busy show for you on this Tuesday. We're going to talk about imminent war between India and Pakistan. We've been focused, of course, on what happens in Russia, Europe trying to go to war with Russia, but there's an imminent war, it appears, that's going to happen in that region following that terrorist attack of last week. So we're going to talk about that on the show today.
Plus, congratulations, Canada. You chose Trudeau 2.0 for your next prime minister. I guess you like, you know, what you've got. High inflation, high living costs, high amounts of immigration, an administration that hates you. You get that again. So we're going to talk to David Creighton if he's not too depressed about what happened in Canada and why Polyev had such a face plant. It was epic, you guys. Probably also, the worst fall we've ever seen from a politician.
Also, we're going to talk about illegal immigrants in, well, so you have these sanctuary cities across the United States right now that are defying President Trump. And not only defying President Trump with illegal immigrants, they're actually paying them actively to protect the illegal immigrants in those cities. It's unbelievable, actually, what the Venezuelan gang members are doing, being paid with tax dollars to protect other illegal immigrants. Yes, we're going to talk about all of that and more as Redacted starts right now. Let us know where you're joining us from around the world. Thank you guys so much for dialing us up on this Tuesday. We're live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So thank you through suffering as we're building out our new studio. Natalie's been sick for a number of days with the flu. Knock on wood, I'm the only one in the family that hasn't gotten it
yet.
You
had symptoms. Don't
I had some
act
symptoms,
like you are Superman.
But because I'm so strong, I'm virile, I'm a man.
It didn't lay him out flat it did me. So we believe that one of our kids' athletic teams spread influenza B. It was not fun. I am now.
Don't recommend it.
I don't.
If you can avoid it, stay away from it.
Yeah, don't get that.
All right.
Bring in
Let's get it. Let's do it. Well, tensions are exploding again between two nuclear-armed giants, India and Pakistan, and it's looking dangerously close to war. Pakistan's defense minister sounded the alarm on Monday, warning that an Indian military attack could be imminent after last week's deadly assault in Kashmir. That, of course, that disputed region both countries claim as their own. The attack left 26 people dead. India is pointing the finger, of course, directly at Pakistan, accusing them of being behind all of it. Pakistan, of course, is denying any involvement. Here's what the Pakistan's defense minister says about this in a recent interview. He said, "We have reinforced our forces because it's something which is imminent now. In that situation, some strategic decisions have to be taken, and they've been made." So what's really happening behind the scenes, and how dangerous is this situation for the rest of the world? Joining us now to break it all down is Colonel John Mills for a closer look and helping us understand what's actually going on in this region. Colonel, great to see you. Welcome into the show.
Well, thank you, Natalie and Clayton. I would have to say all roads lead to China. The dynamic has changed. Pakistan, once in many ways a trusted ally, really, and for a variety of reasons, fell out of favor, especially with the Obama-Biden team, and has really, in many ways, a lot of people don't realize it is essentially a China client. It is essentially a proxy. I'm not sure if I'd put it in the same category as Iran, North Korea, Russia, Venezuela, South Africa, but it's pretty close. And so I would say this is in many ways China stoking the tensions. Why? Because of tariffs, because I just heard today that there's been a call at a major university in Beijing for the removal of President Xi of China. You don't do that and last very long in China. So Xi is under immense pressure at home. He cannot appear in any way to look weak. So this is a proxy in many ways. China would rather stoke a nuclear exchange than see Xi and the Chinese Communist Party fall. So I think there is definitely a connection. And there's been long-running bad blood, obviously, between Pakistan and India. But why all of a sudden? I think you have to look through, look to Pakistan, to China, essentially telling Pakistan to ratchet it up. And so I think that's the short story on why suddenly this is an issue.
So each side pointing fingers for the terrorist attack, of course, last week, saying Pakistan saying we had nothing to do with it. India saying clearly you did. So who do you think is behind that?
Well, that's a great question on the terrorist attack. This is just like a lot of people forget in early 2000 and was it early 2002 when we were chasing bin Laden into Pakistan, what happened? All of a sudden there was a Kashmir flare up. Why? Because Islamic extremists related to Al-Qaeda said, okay, hey, you know, you need to distract the Americans, create a conflict. Also, a lot of people don't remember or didn't realize Pakistan went to essentially nuclear a launch alert condition. Why? Because extremists in the Pakistan government essentially were stoked by Islamic extremists to ratchet up the pressure. We can't go into a whole lot of detail, but we had to essentially use special units to make the Pakistani nuclear force stand down. It was scary. It was very close to a nuclear exchange back then. And it wasn't just the bad blood between Pakistan and India. It was Islamic extremists. And the challenge with Pakistan is it's really been co-opted in so many ways by the extremist elements of Islamic. But now, you know, I'm not sure it was always the right way to handle it, but we were very rough on Pakistan for a bunch of reasons. Pakistan, look, they share a border with China. You know, why are they going to fool around with us if we're going to hold off delivering F-16s for decades? You know, they're just going to go, well, you know, we might as well just deal with China. Also, part of the equation is there's a very important pipeline being built from Iran across Afghanistan.
I can't talk to you.
And up through Pakistan, up into China. That's their way to get oil. So that's also another strategic connection.
Well, I think maybe you touched on something that we've always sort of had a rough hand when it comes to dealing with Pakistan because of the possibility of extremists, but how does that have a possibility of bleeding into our own interests? I think many people don't remember that it was only on Obama's third day that he killed 20 civilians with an attack in Pakistan. So why have we played it that way? Can you maybe bring it back even further?
Well, look, I know a bit about the Pakistanis. We asked for their help for U-2 overflights of the Soviet Union back in the 50s. That's where they were a very close, transitioning colony away from the Brits. But, they wanted to stay closely aligned with us. They were anti-communist. But, you know, the U-2 program was a big deal. Be frank, Pakistan made a lot of money off of it. And then we left. Okay. The Russians invade Afghanistan in the 1979, what is it, 20 years later. We almost immediately go to Pakistan, say, we need your help. And they said, sure. They made a lot of money off of it. And then once the Soviets were defeated about 90, 91, we left. So, and then the war on terror started. And then, so the Pakistanis learned to really milk the situation, like with bin Laden. They were very good at looking for bin Laden. They were not good about finding bin Laden, two totally separate things. Why? I'll just be honest. They knew as soon as they found bin Laden, the American money flow would stop. So they spent a lot of time looking for bin Laden, not finding bin Laden.
The bin Laden industrial complex, you would say.
Well, it was, hey, and I look at Pakistan is a poor country. Yeah. They have a lot of very angry, that you call it, in Arab countries, you call it the angry Arab street. In Pakistan, you have it. It's the angry Pakistani street. It's a rough place, high murder rate, very bad. And then the generals in many ways have just had to keep their boot on the neck of everybody because they'd kill everybody. Everybody would kill everybody. It'd be horrible. But again, the comings and goings of America that would throw money around and then leave, they kind of got tired of that. And in some ways, I don't blame them on that, you know, but when they're trying to feed their people, maybe put some money in their own pockets, but it's a rough country. And, so we cut them off essentially, Reagan didn't like several of the leaders. One of their leaders had a mysterious plane crash. Don't know what happened there, but, you know, we've been holding on to F-16s, for a bazillion years. And I think they just finally got the message and started working with China.
So at the bottom line here, Colonel, is that China is using Pakistan as a proxy to agitate, foment a war in order to distract the United States. President Trump has said, we're not going to get involved. So did it work?
Well, I think even with President Trump, I mean, American policy is clear. We don't want to see a nuclear war between anybody. Okay. I think that's, and so saying we're not going to get involved is not the same as saying we don't care if there's a nuclear war. Right. No, I think President Trump would say we don't want to see a nuclear war. But is China, you know, it's a very different situation than the past, but is now China pulling the tail of Pakistan to get them to launch a nuke to keep, again, it's a very, you know, all this ruckus over tariffs, people don't realize this is life or death. People are going, oh, it's having no effect in China. Oh, Trump doesn't know what he's doing. No, Trump and Navarro and Bessent and everybody knows exactly what they're doing. And China has set up their whole model off a dependency of cheap imports into America, which sector by sector deforest our industrial base, transfer jobs to China. They fill us with fentanyl, but they need that cash flow from America. And these tariffs are ferociously effective. Don't believe any of this fake news stuff. And it is extremely precarious. Their economy is still based off of a dependency off of imports, exports to the U.S. They can't survive without it. That gets cut off. She has a lot of unemployed, hungry people on the streets. Never a good situation for a dictator.
I've seen quite a few of layoffs are happening across China, factories closing down. I mean, this is having broad impact, but, you know, the mainstream media won't report this. And of course, the China pro media, liberal media won't report what's actually happening in China. They just want to say Trump bad, tariffs bad. Right. Colonel Mills, I would love to do a more deep dive conversation on this. This is absolutely fascinating. And frankly, not an angle that I had heard at all on this. So thank you.
Or thought of myself. Yeah. Thank you for this excellent context.
Oh, you bet. Thank you. It's an honor to be on your show. But yeah, it's definitely China is this all roads lead to China in the world on fire.
Fascinating. You know, Colonel Mills, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Clayton. Thank you, Natalie.
I mean, I considered a trade war with China. I don't want a military war with China, but a trade war, I thought, oh, well, we'll work that out. That'll work itself out. I don't think I realized how dangerous it could be. Yeah.
Well, one we would absolutely lose, by the way.
Right.
as we've cataloged many, many times on this show, we're going to send thousands of troops, thousands of miles away to that region. Not going to happen. All right. We got a lot more news to get to here on your Tuesday. Canada's election. I mean, unbelievable devastation in Canada. I don't understand. Well, we're going to dive into it. I guess the numbers make sense. when you've had massive numbers of illegal immigrants and legal immigrants pouring into Canada over the past many decades, totally alters what Canada, you know, how they vote and what, and then we see the election results. We see the returns coming in. It's unbelievable. Over 80% in the Liberal ticket on the Liberal votes were specifically from immigrant populations. So unbelievable. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But first, the internet is a jungle. And if you can fall victim to cybercrime, there's no police to call. You're on your own. Protecting yourself and your loved ones from cyber criminals, scammers, surveillance, governments, corporations, and AI, it's all up to you. If I had to choose one app for privacy, security, and peace of mind, it's our friends over at Bunker. Now, it's built by experts with 25 years of experience catching criminals and fighting cybercrime. Bunker was created to protect their families and friends, and now it's available to you. What do you get with Bunker? Well, you get a private messenger, share messages, photos, files with your trusted contacts, free from surveillance, a password manager to safeguard your online financial shopping, streaming, social media accounts, and a personal vault to securely store your family photos, your financial information, your IDs, tax documents, insurance, and more. Bunker is the one app that delivers supercharged privacy and security, letting you store, share, and communicate freely with those that you trust. Download Bunker from the App Store, the Google Play Store, or visit just bunker.life. That's B-U-N-K-R. There's no E in there. Bunker.life. Use the code REDACTED to get your first 3 months for free. Again, that's bunker.life to get your first 3 months for free. Well, did President Trump lose the election for Pierre Poilievre? That's what conservatives are saying, because they are stuck with Trudeau 2.0. Mark Carney won election as Prime Minister of Canada. Of course, he was the interim Prime Minister, but now he is officially the leader of Canada. David Creighton warned us that this would happen, and it happened. And now Canada has declared itself an enemy of the Trump administration. And here is Mark. David Creighton is joining us now. David, great to see you. I just want to play, and I'm sure you probably haven't gotten any sleep at all dealing with all of the craziness over the past 24 hours, but I just want to play from his victory last night, Mark Carney, in his acceptance speech, in his victory speech, laying the gauntlet down on America and going to war with Trump, essentially. Watch.
We see every day what the politics of slogans and anger and chaos are doing south of the border. They are dividing and they are weakening the Americans. And now the Americans want our strength. They want our resources, our water, our land. They want our country. There's your answer. There's your answer.
There's your answer. So America wants Canada, I guess, and they are going full on against President Trump. Just first of all, your high level response to Mark Carney winning last night, David, were you surprised?
Yeah, I thought Poilievre was gaining momentum in the last 2 weeks and is doing better polling wise. And I really thought he was connecting. Once again, the crowds were 3-4 times the size at his rallies. And he was definitely getting his act together after listening too closely to his communications people, which were giving him horrible advice for the first 3 weeks of this election. He started listening to his inner voice in the last 2 weeks and just was himself and was speaking candidly. And it seemed for a while that he was going to be able to make this. But what really amazes me, Clayton, is that there were so many revelations during this election campaign about Mark Carney, about him being so tied to China, about his globalist past, about his company, Brookfield Asset Management, basically avoiding taxes for years. And it was investigated by the Canada Revenue Agency. There was just every day there was another revelation about how steeped in corruption this man is and how he's in no way making Canada strong. He's making the globalists strong. He's making China strong. And yet it's like he wore a suit of Teflon and it just was not getting down to the people who needed to hear this. And maybe that's because I'm listening to new and independent media, and I'm thinking, why isn't this getting out there? Because, and the reason, of course, is the CBC and the CTV and Global News, they're not reporting this to this at the same rate as the independent media in this country. So I think that might have been one of the reasons. But we're in for a hell of a ride.
Yeah, I want to bring up some... I wanted to put up some statistics here from last night's and how high the immigrant districts, because I think this is very, very important. So here's what Jack Posobiec tweeted just about an hour ago. It said liberals won 80% of high immigrant districts in Canada. Canada's population is now 25% foreign born and set to increase. This is what they want for America. And then take a look at this next chart. It's unbelievable that Canada's net international migration from 1952 to 2023. Look at that massive surge after 2020. It's staggering. Hundreds of thousands of immigrants from India and other areas voting overwhelmingly for Mark Carney and voting for the Liberals. I mean, this is exactly what the United States wanted to have happen and Biden was hoping would happen. So do you think that this is the main reason, the main mover and shaker here?
It's certainly one of the major reasons. And this is what the Liberals have been doing for quite some time. The last 10 years of Justin Trudeau, Mark Carney, there has been irresponsible immigration policies. And the Liberals want to pack this country with new immigrants who will vote for them because they're grateful, because the Liberals brought them in. And it's not a new thing. It's just accelerated to such an astonishing degree in the last 10 years, and that chart says it all, because we used to have normal immigration into Canada, and it has become so out of control. And I don't think Mark Carney is going to make any changes to that. And certainly that was something Pierre Poilievre was talking about, reducing immigration and getting tougher with illegal immigration. So I don't think we're going to have a chance to see that happen, at least this year. But I was absolutely shocked, as I said, with the incredible ignorance of Canadian voters. I just call this a manifestation of stupidity to allow this man to be prime minister after everything he has done. He's never done anything except for himself. He is probably the most narcissistic. Trudeau was narcissistic. This man is twice as narcissistic. He's probably worth $100-200 million. But you know what? We don't know that because he hasn't revealed his financial statistics. He won't reveal his assets because he says, I have 120 days to do that after I became prime minister. So, of course, now if he reveals that, well, he's already prime minister, isn't he? And he waited very conveniently. Annie, go ahead.
Well, I notice what worked for him did not work for Kamala Harris. They were able to rebrand him as brilliant and nascent and cool. And a lot of the liberal talking points of like, he is for women's rights, he is for gay rights, he is for immigration.
Trans.
He is right. He's open to, you know, these freedoms, this of women, healthcare. It just worked. It worked really well for people, for the more, I want to say, unstudied liberals. And the reason I want to say it didn't work for Kamala Harris is because we had the exact same circumstance that you had in Canada, is high cost of living, ethics scandals, opioid death, violent crime rates, illegal immigration, every American city getting worse in social decline. And Americans said, we just can't afford to keep voting for this. So I'm so confused that Canadians said, this is fine. You know what I mean? How do they think that it's fine?
This must be a masochistic nation, hungry for punishment, because that's what's going to happen. We're in for a hell of a ride. The policies that Mark Carney didn't talk a lot about during this campaign, he talked a lot about the policies he stole from Pierre Poilievre, like putting more money into the trades, getting people educated to get a trade position. But Mark Carney wants to institute a home equity tax. And that is going to absolutely decimate homeowners. And that means when you sell your home, you're going to be taxed at a horrendous rate. And this is that if they haven't bled us dry now, do it with that. Mark Carney wants not a consumer carbon tax, although I think we'll get that one too, a corporate carbon tax and a carbon tariff. So if anyone wants to trade with Canada, they have to adopt net zero policies. What's going to happen? Well, it's going to be economic disaster. But I do want to say one thing. Donald Trump should not have interfered in this election. Now, you know, I love Donald Trump, and I usually support the man. But I'm not in the bag for Donald Trump, and I will never say he's always right. And he interfered in this election on three occasions. He endorsed Mark Carney three times. And Mark Carney used that to his advantage. And I am just so mad at Donald Trump for doing this, because I do think he is in some way responsible for Polyev failing to win this yesterday. And I'm not happy with Trump today.
I think it's like an intentional sabotaging. I can't quite wrap my head around it other than that, because, you know, with Polyev, you looked at the numbers, right? And as soon as Polyev started criticizing Trump, his poll numbers plummeted. And was almost like to the day when he started criticizing Trump, aligning himself on the Ukraine war, but really being outspoken against Trump, his numbers tanked in Canada. And then Trump comes out and endorses Mark Carney. And I don't know if it's the banking background or the China connection. I have no idea. I still to this day cannot wrap my head around why Trump endorsed Carney, unless it was intentional sabotage and he was just trolling him.
Yeah, they do have some history in the financial world. Mark Carney's company bailed out a huge apartment complex owned by Jared Kushner. So there is there is a connection there. And Mark Carney and Trump have been better friends than they're pretending right now, which is, I think, is why Trump wasn't playing the game. You know, he was saying, you know, oh, good old Mark, the prime minister. Yeah, we know each other very well. Mark Carney was playing the game of we have to resist Donald Trump. And at the same time, even though Polyev was criticizing Donald Trump, he was painted as the Canadian Trump, as the mini Trump, the Canadian version of Donald Trump. And to some extent, they do share some policies, but in other ways, they're not.
And well, how bad would it have been, David? I mean, how bad would it have been if he was? Because look at Canada right now, across all these markers right now. I mean, it's an unbelievable. We talk about homelessness, tent cities, right? We're talking about rampant inflation across Canada, opioid deaths, Natalie talked about, right? Fentanyl crisis, you know, ethics scandals, Chinese influence in the government, massive.
Rising abuse of power, rising cost of living. And yeah, you're right.
I'm reminded of like Costanza on that episode of Seinfeld. He's like, you know, my whole life I've done something a certain way and I've been a total failure. He's like, what if I did the exact opposite? And he starts having incredible success. You know, it's like, well, Canada has literally shot itself in the foot for the past 15, 20 years. Maybe they should try something else if everything else they've tried has failed.
I think if Polyev had have just pulled the plug and taken some chances and stopped trying to appease the liberal media, I think it would have had a positive effect. Yeah. But they're so afraid of offending the liberal mainstream media in Canada. And this is why the first 3 weeks of that campaign were a disaster for Pierre Polyev. It sounds like he felt he was entitled to win. He felt he couldn't lose. And he was listening very carefully to his campaign manager, who has consistently given him bad advice. And I think he should have taken more chances. I think he should have really said, hey, we need some radical change in this country because we're on the verge of a complete economic collapse. And Mark Carney's not going to stop that. He's going to accelerate it. But I think Polyev should have emphasized change, 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 and the fact that we need drastic change in this country, not just tinkering around with things, not just a little bit of decrease in the immigration and a few cuts here and a few slashes of regulations here. We need a complete seismic change in this country because I don't know if we can survive Mark Carney. I wrote this today and I said it in my own broadcast. Alberta is on the verge of separating from Canada right now because they are sick and tired of net zero policies. They're sick and tired of equalization payments that they have to give every other province because they happen to be richer than those other provinces. There's 40% now support for separation. And that poll was taken 2 weeks ago. Now that Carney's in, I predict it's going to go up, and it's a very real possibility that Alberta could separate. That will be the end of Canada. It will be chaos after that.
Well, and we got to go, but I know, you know, Mark Carney, one of the things he said, of course, today is that every policy decision fiscally has to be related to climate change and net zero policy, everything.
How do you like those blackouts, Europe? Canada coming soon to a province near you.
Yeah, Alberta. A lot of people in our chat room are saying, you know, Alberta, we're ready to leave. We're ready to leave. We got a lot of
I'm just going to give you a victory point. Again, you called this when Trudeau stepped down. You knew that this was a shoe-in for another Liberal victory, because if Pierre Poilievre had been running against Justin Trudeau, it would have been a very different story. And so I'm sorry, you're just sick about it. We're sick with you. But, you know, that gives us a lot of work to do. You're going to have to keep coming back on Redacted, because we're going to have to keep following what these a-holes do.
Well, and David, also, I should say this. You weren't in the tank for Poilievre. You were out there very critical of Poilievre many times, and you were pointing the finger and saying, hey, pay attention to Maxime Bernier. You were saying, hey, open up your eyes. Open up your eyes to where you know, you were very critical of Poilievre on Ukraine and a whole host of issues. So, it's a sad day for Canada. But, David, thank you so much. If you ever want to come down here to America, we have a guest room. We'll be able to take care of you.
You can see taxation asylum.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, David. Great to see you.
All right. Nice, we have more news to get to.
Thanks, David.
Yeah. He's always great. And I feel just my heart, you know?
Yeah.
I feel this.
I have a really, really dear friend who's in Vancouver, and he's just so beside himself. Normally we chat like every day, and he's just like, he can't even talk right now. He's so apoplectic right now. So
yeah.
Anyway.
All right. We're going to talk about this new study that shows that the abortion pill is far more dangerous than the FDA has allowed us to believe. Why would they do that, do you think? I have some theories. We're going to talk to the author of this bombshell study in just a minute. But before we do that, we want to tell you about our friends over at Ground News. Because, hey, if you watch our show, you already know that the mainstream media is playing games with you. That's why their numbers are so doo-doo. Have you seen CNN's ratings lately? They get less than 100,000 viewers in prime time in the demographic. That's terrible. Most podcasts do better than them. It's because people realize that their news is biased. And Ground News is a great place to get that bias out front. So if you're looking for any given story, you can look it up and then see various networks' coverage of it. And Ground News does a fantastic job of marking what the partisan bent is on any given story. For instance, this one, Mexico extradites drug lord and 20 others to the U.S. Well, how is that covered? What is left out of the narrative? What is it they'd like you to see? And it will tell you, does this go left or right? A lot of times you want to read like a partisan story and then read the opposite as well, so you can fill in the gaps, because no media can be trusted. So Ground News is a fantastic place to go to get your news and figure out what the bent is, what you're being asked to believe, and just break down the propaganda. You can go to ground.news/redacted and get 40% off, or scan the QR code that's on your screen right now. Again, you can get 40% off the same plan that we use every day. And we track our favorite independent outlets on their app. We are subscribed to their newsletter. It's really a great source for news. So we at Redacted really aim to be nonpartisan, but if you want the partisan out there marked for you, that's where you go. ground.news/redacted. Again, you get 40% off. All right. Well, the abortion pill is far more dangerous than the FDA would have you believe, according to a new bombshell study. The FDA says that mifepristone, or Mifeprex is the brand name, has less than 0.5% of negative reactions for women that take it. But this new study says that's not true by a long shot. This comes from the Ethics and Public Policy Center, or EPCC. The authors say that this is a Category 5 hurricane for the abortion industry, because they are hiding this from women. Now, one of the authors joins us today. Jamie Brian Hall is one of the authors, and he joins us to discuss. Dr. Hall, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on your show.
So tell us about what the FDA would have us believe about the abortion pill, that it's just as simple as a Tylenol, and what you found.
Well, the FDA, as you said, claims that less than 0.5% of women who take this drug will experience a severe adverse reaction. But in reality, when we look at insurance claims data for 7 years from 2017 to 2023, what we find instead is that 10.93% of the women who take this drug experience a severe adverse event, such as infection that could lead to sepsis, hemorrhaging that could lead to the need for a blood transfusion. About half the women who experience a serious adverse event will find themselves in the ER or in the hospital after taking the drug. This is real world data from an insurance claims database with over 865,000 abortions. This is not a controlled clinical trial. This is the experience of actual women who are taking this drug in America today, who are being misled by the information on the drug label.
You also found what you call life-threatening mental health diagnosis. What is that?
So some women, of course, after taking the drug, realizing what they've gone through, what's happening inside of them, could experience a mental health issue that might lead them to consider suicide. So that is one of the many serious or life-threatening complications that we consider in our study. We're following the FDA's definition of a serious adverse event more closely than they did when they allowed this drug to be approved for use here in America today.
You know, I come from the legacy media, spent many years in the legacy media, and it seems like the legacy media, I mean, we know they're liars, but they really love the idea of the ease of abortion and how easy it is and there's no complications, and they push this narrative. You could watch CBS, you could watch CNN, you could watch all of the liberal media. They really push this idea that, you know, no harm, no foul. You get pregnant. Oh, it's very easy. Just pop a pill and you're good to go. That's a total lie. Are you surprised that the media pushes this narrative?
Oh, not at all. That's what they've been doing for years. Clinton, in his campaign back in 1992, promised to bring this drug from France to the United States. And by the end of his administration in 2000, the FDA had approved this drug, but they had never at any time required a randomized controlled trial to be able to look and see what the effects of this drug on women are compared to women who do not take the drug. They didn't follow their normal procedures for drug approval, even from the beginning. And then they've just been working to chip away at the safety protocols that were put in place in 2000 ever since then.
Right. Let's show this chart that you put in your study about how every Democratic administration in the last 20 years has eased access to this pill. So when Clinton launched it to the market, you had to have 3 in-person visits, have at least 7 weeks pregnancy, not more. And there were restrictions in place, but then Obama and then subsequently Biden just made it easier and easier. And so how can we as women have informed consent about something that's so easy if we're not given the truth? Can you speak to why Democratic presidents have done this and how it's a disservice to women?
Well, they've definitely prioritized access to abortion ahead of women's health. That's no surprise, given the importance of the ability to have consequence-free sexual activity to the left in general. But particularly in this case, they've allowed women to be told, yeah, this is safer than Tylenol, when that's just absolutely untrue. You have a tenth of women who are taking this drug having a serious adverse event. Half of those are ending up in the hospital. Tylenol, I mean, what, maybe 1 in 10,000 or so people who take Tylenol would have a serious adverse reaction. It's absurd what they're telling women, and then what they're even putting on the drug label, this claim of less than 0.5% serious adverse reaction, when they know it's not true, but they want to make sure that abortion is available to any woman in any circumstance. They want that to be the answer to all of her problems. When it's not, it harms women, and women need to know that there are better options than abortion. And The FDA really, really needs to reconsider both putting back into place the safety protocols that you showed on that chart earlier, but also just look at their approval of mifepristone in the first place. Reconsider whether this should even be on the market.
Right.
You said you're going to be doing other investigations here. This is just the tip of the iceberg in your studies. What other things or long-term effects are you going to be looking at as you unpack this even further? And by the way, any members of Congress coming forward and saying, hey, we need to hold like a hearing on this. We need to press the FDA. You know, where's RFK Jr. in this?
We've definitely already had multiple members of Congress, including Senator Josh Hawley, right away put out a letter calling on the FDA to look into this. We anticipate that there will be more here in the coming weeks. I would expect that there would be hearings. Dr. McCary, who leads the FDA now, has promised to review all data coming out on the safety of this drug and to reconsider based on new evidence. Well, here's the evidence that you need to reconsider this approval.
Right. You know, in a lot of my research, I've come across theories that abortion increases a woman's risk of breast cancer. And as you pull that thread, you start to see how political this research is, because there is research that shows that abortion is related to increased incidence of breast cancer. And then you see all of these studies saying, not really, we can't actually make that conclusion because association doesn't mean causation. And so how can you get around such political research in abortion? How do we do that?
Well, first of all, we avoided the peer review process because we knew that was so politicized. What we're doing instead is we're calling on any other organization that would like to replicate our study to just let us know. We'll work with you. We'll show you exactly what we did. If you have access to the data, we'd encourage you to look at it as well. You'll find the same thing. Publish that. We'll have more information out there for women to make an informed decision, and importantly for the FDA to make an appropriate decision given the risks of this drug to women. There's no way that this should be on the market. Certainly, there's no way that a woman should be able to just fill out a questionnaire online, basically claiming that she's healthy and that her pregnancy is not too far along, and get the pill in the mail a few days later, take it at home without any involvement from a doctor whatsoever, and just hope that everything works out okay. Everything's not working out okay under this policy, and the FDA really needs to reconsider.
Yeah, and yeah. They're publicly traded companies, right? They're up on the New York Stock Exchange. You can go and invest in these companies that are doing this and have this government backdoor protection. It's really sick and disgusting. Where have we heard this before? COVID?
Yeah.
Jamie Brian Hall, one of the authors of this study, thank you for the incredible work.
And please come back and tell us about your subsequent studies as well, because women are certainly not getting the full story. We cannot give informed consent if we don't know this. So please come back another time.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. All right.
I'm mad as snakes about this, Clayton. Women are lied to in this abortion culture.
Well, so much money in the big pharma machine, right? They're going to push this. If all of these like CNN segments or MSNBC segments are brought to you by Pfizer, brought to you by the big pharmaceutical companies, of course they're going to push and protect that narrative, right? So it's easy. Just pop a pill and get rid of your baby. Like that's what liberals want. So really disgusting. All right.
I'm pissed.
We've got more news to get to. We're going to talk about the Chicago mayor hiring illegal immigrants, defying President Trump specifically, and using illegal Venezuelans from the Tren de Aragua gangs to protect other Tren de Aragua gang members. You can't make this up. Our next guest has blown the lid off of this story. And good news, we may have some actual investigations going on, criminal investigations. Could it go all the way to the top, all the way to the mayor of Chicago? We'll talk about that. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Hillsdale College. You know, time is our precious commodity, right? Heard from so many of our listeners who've, you know, asked for advice on how can they, you know, spend it wisely? How can we improve our, you know, education and their and themselves? Hillsdale College is offering more than 40 free online courses to improve yourself, your knowledge, You want to learn more about the U.S. Constitution. You want to learn about the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire, the history of ancient Christian church. You want to look at the works of C.S. Lewis in the stories of the book of Genesis. That means the meaning of the U.S. Constitution. All of that you can find out right now for free just by taking their online courses by going to hillsdale.edu/redacted. I'm telling you, one of the things you should definitely check out is the U.S. Constitution and how at the federal level right now, they've gone out of their way to basically circumvent the U.S. Constitution. Catherine Austin Fitz was just a guest on Tucker's show, and they had a great discussion about how the states really, in many ways, have more power than the federal government. The federal government has been really sidestepping the United States Constitution. Understanding how all of these things work is powerful. So sit down. You can even sit down with your kids. Go through some of the courses for free. Learn about the history of the United States. And again, for free. So sign up. Go to hillsdale.edu/redact to get more than 40 free classes online. Start today, guys, and enroll. Your free online courses are waiting for you. It's easy to get started. All right. So let me just set the stage again here. So we'll kind of clip all this together here. But all the pictures that I just showed our audience, I mean, they're pretty stunning. So you show up at this Holiday Inn Express, you see these Venezuelan gang members protecting other Venezuelan gang members at this Holiday Inn Express. This is, to me, a clear violation of President Trump's executive order on sanctuary cities, but also protecting violent criminals. What did you find when you rolled into this Holiday Inn Express? I'm sure they loved seeing your face.
Yeah, so Ben Berkow and I have been there a number of times. We've been assaulted. It's on video and stories and stuff, you know. So this center was supposed to be one of 27. It was shut down, but it was reopened under what's called the One System Initiative, where Brandon Johnson's pretending they're for homeless people. He's lying, right? He's no longer counting they call them new arrivals as of January. So he's trying to put this facade, right, that they're putting homeless in there. They are putting some homeless. That's full of Venezuelans. And just a little clarification, so there's Venezuelans in there, Venezuelan gang members in there. The security guard is a Chicago gang member. He's flashing a Chicago gang sign, and we have a Chicago gang member overlooking Venezuelan gang members, which is just crazy. And, you know, the guy got yelled at after that. The other, the big African-American guy yelled at him after he did that, and that just happened to be a still. Unfortunately, I didn't have my camera on. It was a still picture. But when I first went up there and tried to pretend I wanted to rent a room, you know, the guy got in my face, wouldn't let me. He didn't want me to film the sign of the Holiday Inn. He said, this is private property. I go, this is a hotel. This is Holiday Inn. It's private property. You got to leave. We went through that for 3 minutes. Then those other security guards came over. The guy with the mask, who works at FedEx, coincidentally with a friend of mine. I just found it out. He works at FedEx this morning. And he does the security guard stuff at night. And he did confirm there's Venezuelans in there, which we over the guy in the right there. He works for FedEx. And so
so these guys that we're seeing on your screen, because you had mentioned to me that these individuals that we're seeing, these security guards, these are Venezuelans.
No, this guy on the left is a Hispanic gang member, Chicago gang member. That's a folks. They got folks and people. It's probably Latin Disciples. I'm not sure. He's not a Latin King. He's flashing a gang sign. He's an employee of Allied Universal Security right there. That's a security guard company. So they're being hired. They obviously have some connections through Mayor Brandon Johnson. And before they had GardaWorld, was all over. GardaWorld Security is from Ontario, Canada. It's like the Blackwater of Canada, right? Their military zones, UN, World Economic Forum. And then once they shut all the shelters down, they got rid of them. These guys are taking over under Brandon Johnson. This company is hiring these people. This company is hiring. So I'm kind of shocked that the guy was so stupid to flash his gang sign trying to be intimidated. Like, that intimidates me. The guy's like a buck 50 wet and flashing his gang sign. He's flashing his gang sign, you know, while we had a whole bunch of people behind me. I'm like, you know, this guy's proud of being a gang member when he's being paid by tax dollars to watch a tax-funded Holiday Inn full of illegals. Here's another thing. I grew up right there, right? So just last week, Chicago Fire Department guy I knew had a maternity call there. It was a miscarriage, and the woman had chlamydia. Didn't even know she had it. About 2 months ago, there was two maternity calls in that same shelter of Venezuelans that gave birth to babies.
Jeez. So this, to me, as people are saying in the chat room right now, you know, it's all funded with your tax money, and this sounds like it's treasonous. You're using you're employing gang members to protect illegal Venezuelan gang members in a Holiday Inn Express. I mean, how is that not treasonous?
And that, you know, I know it's like they could be collaboration. So they got a guard there working with other gang members. Who knows what kind of collaboration or conversations they could have together, right? Not that they need a security guard on site that happens to be a gang member, but I mean, they sit around there and work for 10, 12 hours a day. They're going to be talking to them. Who knows where that might lead to? Another important thing, I just got new FOIA information. I haven't even released it yet. I got FOIAs from the office of the mayor. And there was a Democratic politician, northwest side of Chicago, I forgot the lady's name, sent the city of Chicago and the deputy mayor an email. She said, I'm very concerned the last $290 million that we got from the state of Illinois is not being used for long-term homeless. That's code word for homeless. She goes, I would like to talk to you offline about this, knowing it was FOIA-able. So I haven't even released that yet. I got, you know, so basically Democrats complaining, they got $290 million and they're using it for this bogus one system initiative, of which I told you is bullshit. They're trying to hide the fact that they're housing these illegals still. And they even said in another one that they're not going to count them anymore. They're not counting them when they come into the city of Chicago.
You know, you've done a lot of work on this to get the message out about what's actually happening here. We've been hearing, you know, ICE roundups, all of this, but we've been seeing these defiance now from sanctuary cities. And we've been seeing these mayors who are drawing a line in the sand saying, no, we're going to defy President Trump. We're going to defy ICE. We're going to try to work around this. How bad has it gotten in Chicago with these illegal immigrants?
Oh, it's gotten bad. They spread, they're spread out all over the place. You know, we just had immigrants robbing the Amazon truck driver in front of my friend. My buddy Mike Frizzola owns a store downtown Downers Grove. Last week, he never used his camera. He said, Terry, could you come over and help me? He goes, the detectives called me. Six Venezuelans robbed a woman, and they think they could see it on my camera. I went over to help them. The detective got there. Sure enough, these six Venezuelans were there. They didn't put it in the newspaper. It's Venezuelans here, by the way. They're Venezuelans. They're minors. They came from Aurora, not in the police report. Aurora train station, which is further west from us, not Aurora, Colorado. Aurora train station. They took that off. They got off in Downers Grove. They first tried to, they stopped a woman, hit her car in Downers Grove, the Venezuelans. That woman was smart enough, had enough courage, and she just hit the gas, took off, called 911. By the time the police got her 911 call, another lady pulled up, and they robbed this woman. And then they thought they timed that they're going to get back on the train to go back west to Aurora. Well, guess what? Coincidentally, further east from Chicago going west, somebody got killed by that train. And everything was shut up. So then they had to call somebody, another Venezuelan, who picked them up in the car, and they got caught with the gun. And they're all minors. All of them. All six of them are minors. So we're not even sure what's going to happen, you know, with this goofy sanctuary state and this catch and release and the bond stuff that we have in Illinois. They get let out.
I want to show something to our audience here. I want to put up this poster from the border to our backyards, an event that you were going to be hosting with Ben Berkwan, Ann Vandersteel, Daniel Carter. And you've been trying to do this in certain areas of Chicago, and Antifa members have been going out of their way to get these things blocked. I want to put this up on the screen. This one's from an Antifa member saying, this is the second Terry Newsom event canceled at 15115 Bourbon Street. Terry has booked a new location. We feel like there's a good chance we can get this one canceled as well if enough people call up and voice their displeasure. So Antifa members, of course, have been going after you big time, doxing you and everything else. Here's just a voicemail from one of these Antifa members calling up, alleged Antifa member, from what I can tell, calling up one of the event centers trying to get your event canceled. This is, so I guess this is an Antifa phone call. Take a listen.
Hi, this message is for Christina. Thanks for listening. I am here just to let you know about an event that's scheduled at Bourbon Street, your venue. It is for April 30th. It's called From the Border to Our Backyard, and that is a very alarming event. I don't know if you know who or how it's being organized, but it is being organized by seriously extreme right-wing fascists. And I don't mean to say it lightly. I do know a lot about each individual host and speaker of this event. You should look them up for yourself. That is Terry Newsom, Bert Berquim and Vandersteel and Danielle Carter. They are all xenophobes and transphobes in their own right. Some of the things that they've done is they film videos of people hanging outside migrant centers, shelters, and they try and put them on the internet saying they're Venezuelan gang members without any evidence, just the basic racism. Terry Newsom.
The basic racism. You're a basic racist, Terry. So
All right. You've been following. You saw the stuff. I got police reports of Trendelagra murders. I haven't seen you since last time. They're wearing black masks, kicking doors down, going in with machine guns now. Right. And they're saying we're trying.
But you have no evidence. Apparently, you have no evidence of it, Terry.
Yeah.
Police reports.
Bert, yeah. My buddy Bert Benguam. That's Ben Berquim. I'm being sarcastic. Yeah, Ben has been in there. He's actually in the city right now. Ben is at some of the shelters right now as we're speaking, getting ready for our event tomorrow. And that's we're racist. This event is supposed to be to help. It's bipartisan. So the one woman they mentioned, Danielle Carter, they said she's a racist, too. She was just in front of Congress. Did you remember when Brandon Johnson, a few weeks, when they had a number of people in front of Congress? Danielle is an African-American woman that they were questioning, and they're calling her a white supremacist. I have other African-Americans. I got two Hispanic pastors who are speaking tomorrow. You know what they're upset with? Trendelagra is going into their communities, including businesses that were there before, and they're strong-arming them for street tax. They're strong-arming the Hispanic community, and they're going to talk about it. But you got these little pencil-neck weasels from Antifa spreading lies and they hate and all this stuff, and they represent the left. The other venue that was supposed to have this event is 115 Bourbon Street. We specifically picked it there because it's in the city of Chicago. All the first responders, police officers, they're on our side. We're trying to make their life safer. And these guys called the venue, they're supposed to be Christian conservatives, total lie. They hold transvestite events, Sunday brunch with transgenders and stuff like that. They caved to radical leftists because they thought we were too radical from leftists. I want to give kudos to Belvedere. They're Italian buddies of mine, right? Belvedere, they're not going to cave, you weasels. They're not going to cave. They hosted Tom Holman in December. They're getting all kinds of calls, Facebook. I want to give these guys credit. Belvedere, it's in Elk Grove Village. They're hosting me, Tom, and Ann, and we're going to have a bunch of minorities. It's bipartisan. It's not racist. It's about trying to save our country, our state, and the city of Chicago, because nobody's doing it here in Illinois. We're trying to get the word out to get a petition to remove Illinois from the sanctuary state in 2026. This is the kickoff of that. It's bipartisan, low-income, high-income, black, white, Italian. And these guys, they want people to come in here illegally. These leftists, that's what they want.
Yeah. Why, if they're so brave, why do these Antifa cowards wear masks?
That's what I said on Facebook. I was like, you know, and they hide behind fake accounts. I've been getting calls on burner phones and text messages. You know, thank God now law enforcement is looking into this. There's so much stuff I could tell you about, Clayton, that's going on, and other people have been caught. And hopefully with Donald Trump in office and the current, you know, law enforcement is going to make a difference to track these people down.
Well, we're hoping to speak with them about this and hoping to have Tom Holman on the show here to dive more deeply into this, because they're spitting in our faces right now and they're defying these executive orders. This is treason by all accounts. Terry Newsom, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
As we move locations, we're kind of, so the website, if you're interested, you're in Illinois, it's saveilcoalition.com, saveilcoalition.com, or you could look me up at Terry Newsom 357 on X, and you could find it there. Thank you so much for helping expose this. Clayton, thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for the great work again, Terry. God bless you. All right. Thanks, Terry. Unbelievable. I love how these guys wear masks. You know, they're so brave. Like Philip and David, you guys up near in the Portland area, these guys, all these Antifa guys were going around burning down buildings, smashing in buildings, wearing masks so you couldn't see their faces. So brave. Hiding behind their masks.
I was dating a woman at the time that was down there in the protests. So
saw it happen.
The relationship didn't last long, but it was happening.
Amazing. Oh, man. Well, guys, thank you guys so much for subscribing to the show. It's free to subscribe. You know, you can, I think, do they call it subscribe anymore on YouTube, or they call it follow? I don't know. Anyway, thank you guys for subscribing, following us. We're live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time, covering the stories the mainstream media largely ignores. We have no agenda here. We just want the truth. And hey, if facts lead us in a different direction, we always follow the facts. That's where we go. So thank you guys. We are not a billion dollar corporation. We have a small team. So we are supported by you. And thanks to all of you guys for being a part of our show. We really appreciate it. I should mention we have a daily newsletter, and that's totally free as well. Natalie writes it. I help it with it as well. And our team publishes it first thing in the morning. We cover about five or six big stories that you might have missed while you were sleeping. And we try to have a little bit of humor in there if we can. Cover the markets, what's going on with gold prices, et cetera. And you can read it in about 5 or 10 minutes over your cup of coffee first thing in the morning. Just go to redacted.inc is the place to go to sign up. And you'll receive a welcome email from me. It'll say from Clayton. And then you just, it might go to your spam folder, your junk folder, something like that. So just move it over to your inbox and click that. There's a link in there just saying, yes, you do want to receive the newsletter. That way it prevents bots from spamming us and that kind of stuff. And then tomorrow morning, on Wednesday morning, you'll receive the newsletter front and center in your inbox. That's redacted.inc, our newsletter. So thanks to all of you for watching us today. We really appreciate it. And thanks as we build out the studio here and get it all fired up for you guys in the best way possible. We're working hard to make it as best show possible for you guys. So thank you guys for watching us on this Tuesday. We'll be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern. Have a great night, everyone.